To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Well, Holy Spirit, I just come before you, the Father and the Son, and I ask for your guidance and your leadership. I ask that you would anoint the things that I'm going to say. I ask that they would go deep into the hearts of my family here. I ask, Lord, that you would truly prepare us as a people. We pray for the citywide church across this region. We pray for our state, for our nation, and ask that the church would arise, that we would fall deeper in love with you as we've sung about today, and that we would just have a good understanding. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would really help everyone to have a teachable spirit today and to receive. And whatever nuggets are here, I pray that they would hold on to them. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would separate the wheat from the chaff, and that what you desire to be said in this morning as we've gathered in your name, that it's just not a normal gathering of having church, but we come together to hear and to be challenged and to say yes to you and to come closer and draw nearer to you. Lord, we know that you're preparing cities of refuge, places of refuge all over the earth. We know that the prayer movement is moving powerfully all over the earth. And we knew that this was going to happen as two worship movements collide at the end of the age. So, Lord, I ask that you would help us to find the fullness of our identity, our purpose, and our calling, and to walk in it with a fiery passion. I pray in the powerful name of Jesus, Yeshua. Amen and amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thanks. I shared something here recently about how many questions there are about the times in which we're living, and many people have questions, and as soon as you begin to talk about that, people, they kind of want to know, they want to listen, what's going on, what's happening, and I shared, this is a little bit before I go into the message, as I did last week, I kind of gave you a warning, quick spurt of warning, and now I'm just going to encourage you in another quick moment here, that the ultimate, safest position and place to be for you and for me, for your family and for the family of God, that it's a spiritual matter. It is a spiritual matter. And the safest place for you to be is under the care and in the place of intimacy with the King of Glory, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Yeshua. It's the ultimate safest position. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't prepare for the days ahead, because we want to do that physically and whatever other way that we can, how we're being led by the Lord. There's no doubt that we need to do that, but here's the thing. If we do all of that and we do things to prepare ourselves and we are not madly crazy in love with Christ, because he is the beloved bridegroom conquering king that's coming back to rule and reign on the earth. And so we are called his bride, men and women. It's hard for most men to understand that, but it's talking about a covenant. It's talking about a unity. It's talking about a relationship that will go on for all eternity. And the Father wants a family. And the Father's going to get a family. And we're it. And we're called to be that family, to be with his Son for all eternity. This is a truth. This is a reality. And sometimes in just normal Christianity, we don't hear that story that much. But God wants to challenge us about the days in which we're living, moving into the days ahead. And the word Yeshua, there's a root word to Yeshua that's called Yeshu. And that Hebrew word means safety. And it's the root word for Yeshua, which is the real name in Hebrew of Jesus. Of course, he's Jesus, he's Yeshua, he's many things. But we need to understand that he is in a place, he puts us in a place of safety. It's the root word to Yeshua. Yeshua is safety, and he's also salvation. So the safest place for us to be is in Yeshua, in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, for safety and for salvation. And if we have that, boom, we're in a good place. Salvation and safety is found in him. The other thing that I wanted to quicken you on a little bit this morning was that there are many things that you're going to be asked to do in the days ahead. There are many good things. And one of the biggest problems that I think I've had trying to mature in the ways of God is that my ability to say no sometimes. And I want to encourage you that there's going to be some good things that you're going to need to say no to. And you need to be able to say yes to the best thing. The calling that He has on your life. The will of God for your life. Saying yes to Him and what He has for you. Because there are all kinds of good things. So make sure that your yes is the best and it's not just the good. Do you follow me on that? Do you get that, what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to encourage you to be ready. Be ready to make sure that you walk in the perfect and full will of God for your life. Okay, well, I'm going to do part two. I don't know if I've ever done a part two, but I'm going to try to do a part two. Last week I was talking about God's calling, God's purpose, and His identity that we find in Him, the identity that we find in Him. And many Christians are asking that question. We cannot be found apart from the family of God. We cannot be found apart from Him. I shared a little bit about that and how important the word, prayer, and worship is in our life. And how this house of prayer is important. How we're called to be a house of prayer, each and every one of us. And so, I'm going to kind of start right here. Human history has been about a prayer movement. Not to the degree that we're about ready to enter into, but there's always been prayer and worship existing from the very beginning. When you consider human history began with a prayer meeting, Adam and Eve walking with the Lord. I shared that last week. In the garden, there was a communication, there was fellowship. It began in that place. If you really want to see a powerful prayer meeting going on, you need to turn to Revelations 4 and 5 when you get home and read about that prayer meeting that's going on in heaven right now. Israel began as a nation with a fiery prayer meeting on Mount Sinai. And you and I were called to be a kingdom of priests. God's purpose for His people is to be a house of prayer. And again, I'm just running through this quickly. I'm not going to say much about it, but it's clear that we are called to be a house of prayer. And He made that clear through King David. David established singers and musicians in 1 Chronicles 15 and 16 who were free from their other duties. They were singers and musicians that were free from their other duties, for they were employed in the day and night worship before God. They were called to stand there and to burn and to minister before the Lord. David financed over 4,000 musicians and singers. David commanded the leaders after him to maintain worship in the house of the Lord. Each time the Davidic order of worship was established in Israel, a spiritual breakthrough would take place. You can find it. You can study it out. With military victory soon to follow. So every time that the house of the Lord was established and people were worshiping and proclaiming who He was. And again, this is our identity. We're called to be a house of prayer. We're called to be people of prayer. We're called to be people of worship. And every time that that was established, there was victory and there was prosperity that would begin to happen with the nation. Jesus Himself began His public ministry in a prayer meeting. In the wilderness, in Matthew 4, you can study it out, and ended in a prayer meeting in the Garden of Gethsemane. The early church began in a prayer meeting in the upper room as they waited for the promise of God. The apostles made the ministry of prayer a top priority in all that they did. Their prayer gatherings were important, and so are ours, every one of them. Every time you spend time and pray before the Lord, it is so valid and so important. God's calling us to find our identity in that place of prayer, to find our identity in that place of worship, to find our identity in that place of His Word, His living Word. And this is kind of where I left off. Natural history as we know it will end in the context of a global prayer and worship movement. Two of them will be happening, and it's even happening now around us. One worshiping Jesus, Yeshua, and the other one worshiping the Antichrist. That is going to happen, and it's happening as we speak. If you turn to Revelation chapter 13, I should have it up on the screen. Revelation 13, verse 4, it says, they worshiped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast and who is able to wage war with him? This is a movement at the end of the age. And there's, I don't have time to go into this next few verses, but they're very powerful, and hopefully you'll catch it. Verse 7 and 8, it says, it was also given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Everyone, look at this, you got to catch this. This is powerful. Everyone whose name has not been who has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. So all those that step away and move into his direction that have not had their names written in the Lamb's book of life through salvation, everyone else will begin to worship him and be drawn to that. That's what the scripture says. But in Malachi 1, verse 11, it speaks about how Jesus will be glorified forever and ever on the face of the planet. And that those two worship movements are beginning to happen even as we speak. They're happening. People are beginning to move away and worship other gods. A lot of methodologies in the church are really swaying away from strong biblical truth in the doctrine. And it's happening. And people's devotion is changing. But in Malachi, this is hope, so I want to encourage you. Malachi 1:11 says, Jesus will be worshipped by the whole earth. For from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name, Yeshua, shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense will be offered to my name. Worship, prayer, and pure offering for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. So even though this is going to happen, we know that the day is coming, according to the prophetic word from Malachi, that the whole earth will be filled with his glory, and Isaiah, and the whole earth will worship him. That is, and you experienced a little bit of that this morning, just a little bit, when you begin to release your heart to him and start letting him have every broken piece and letting him have everything. That's what began to happen this morning. The whole earth will worship him. So worship and prayer, that's why I'm speaking about it from a place of identity. I'm speaking about it because it's so very important right now in our time. In heaven, worship is going on. Worship is happening on earth, but it's happening in heaven. And it's going to happen in the age to come. In Psalm 132, just again, I want to hit this quick. In Psalm 132, verses 2 and 5, it speaks about how devoted David was to making sure that God had a resting place, a place of his presence. He was so devoted to it. And he made some amazing statements in the Psalms. And he spoke about his house. He said, I'm not going to go to my house. I'm not going to lay in my bed. I'm not going to give sleep to my eyes until he finds a resting place. Well, I'm going to end up in the place that we are a resting place for God because we are the temple. But I want you to see how important it was to David. And what does it mean? Does it really mean what it says? In this passage, David's house refers to his domestic life and his personal resources. I'm not going to allow my domestic life and my personal resources to take precedence over having a place where God can dwell. So I'm not going to let that take precedence over me being a temple, being a dwelling place for God. That's what God's asking of you. You got to make this really clear. And David, you know, David was pretty clear about what he was doing. He set things in motion. And it says that the tabernacle of David is going to raise at the end of the age. And I believe that strongly through men and women of prayer and worship. So his house, he refers to his house. Then he says his bed. And that refers to his personal comfort and his ease. I'm not going to have my personal comfort and the easy way of living just so. Everything's just so-so. And yet God is forsaken. God doesn't have a resting place. Does that ring home? Can you apply that? I can. I can apply that in a huge way. That I want things to be comfortable, things to be easy. And David said, no, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to allow personal comfort over this. And then the third thing, he talks about not giving sleep to his eyes. It refers to his pouring out of his strength in contending for God's will. He's going to do whatever it takes to see the will of God fulfilled in his life. And I believe that even this morning, God is stirring you and stirring me to be stirred up about being fully, absolutely in his will for our life, and nothing else matters. And we're going to be all of a sudden soon, we're going to be moved into that place where we really understand it. And we're going, oh, because I don't want to go into that story. I've said it 1,000 times, but nothing really matters but Jesus. I got a new story that just popped in my mind. I'm going to use that one. Just the other day, I was praying for someone that was losing their mother. And she was a strong, strong Catholic woman. And I believe she had a relationship with Jesus. And they were praying for her. And she was in the hospital. And this individual that I know used to always say, "Man, I don't know what Bobby D's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's saying all this warmth and all this, you know, what is he talking about?" And she said they would pray that God would touch him like that, and it just didn't happen. So this individual crawled up into the bed with her mom and was praying and praying for God to move and to come. And in like a moment, the presence of God just filled them both. And it was just a powerful moment with God. And the description that was given was that there was heat, that there was this amazing heat, and there was this amazing presence. And it was like, all I could do is just thank God, because that's all you can do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. When you begin, or I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Thank you, I'm sorry, thank you. Usually that's what it's like. And so in that moment, just completely blown away. And the other sibling and others, they didn't believe in God. They didn't believe. They've turned to be atheists. But they were there. And so all of a sudden, the breathing started to slow down to just like one breath every 30 seconds. Because, you know, the last thing we say is his name, Yahweh. And so it started to slow down. And right before her breathing stopped, and she had been pretty much, you know, a little bit in a coma state. There was nothing. Right before it stopped, they were sitting there, and her mother went like this. And she said, "If you could have seen my mom's eyes, if you could have seen and felt the moment that Jesus was coming to take her, her arms went down." This just happened the other day. Her arms went down, and the last breath was taken immediately after. Because it comes to that point that all that matters is Jesus. I want Jesus to be running to me with my arms open wide. That's what this is all about. Colors, sounds. Oh. Woo. So, David said, "I don't want sleep for my eyes." It refers again to pouring out his strength, contending for God's will, contending for God's will, contending for God's will. David was gripped by this reality. And in that same way, God's wanting to grip us with the same reality. As I said earlier, in the New Testament, we are his habitation. We are the temple. And when we gather together in him, where two or more gathered in his name, he's in our midst. His presence increases. You can have a house of prayer in your home, anywhere you go, any church, when they gather together in his name. But there's also designation of making this a house of prayer for people to come. And that there's people that are called to this so that we can come in and out of it periodically. Just think, if you just gave 2 hours a week to just praying and being before the Lord. Just 2 hours. Not saying that you got to do all this and you know, this all this huge time. Just 2 hours. Now you've got 100 hours in a year that you're praying and ministering to God and crying out for our nation. And then there's people all over the earth doing the same thing. So the 100 hours turns into thousands of hours of intercession and people crying out. We have to be prepared. We have to be ready, and we're ready in Him. Those folks that are doing that, like us, I believe, are called to live in the first and second commandment and under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And walking in the fear of the Lord. I believe that it's not going to be long. It's already happened some. But the church as a whole will be the product of signs and wonders happening everywhere. Because she has called herself to that place of intimacy, of humility, of prayer, of worship, of living in the Word of God. And you just can't help but signs and wonders happening. God's trying to detox a whole mess of people. From a religious system into a place of being emphatically in love with Jesus. And for us to love the way that He loves. That obedience will create gratitude. That obedience will create humility within us. Remaining faithful to Him. I believe that, and I'm sharing this from another individual, Mike Bickle. And I want to share this. I want to put this up real quick. Growing in Prayer, a Real Life Guide to Talking with God. This is an amazing, amazing book. If you don't have it, get it and move through this book. Growing in Prayer, a Real Life Guide to Talking with God. Do you want a little bit more guidance in talking with God? I do. And so you need to get this book. And so I'm referring a little bit from this book right now. He says we're at a critical juncture. The church in the West and the worldwide, because of a crisis that's happening to the church. And it's going to be our greatest one. And I even shared this earlier, that church, not all churches, but many, are substituting a different methodology. And God is calling His church to be a house of prayer, to be a people of intercession, to be a people of prayer. Now, you were handed this a few moments ago. Did everybody get one of these? Nobody did. Okay. Let's get these handed out. there you go. Somebody help her. Bless her heart. No pressure. That's my fault. Take it all off of her. So what you're going to be handed is a question to the why. Why a house of prayer? Why? And you know, if anything should concern you this morning, it's not how people are talking or they're phrasing or how they're acting. It's about, are you really connected to God and His house of prayer? Don't let people take you away from what God's called you to. So I'm going to answer the why. Why a house of prayer? And this was from this book. I had it copied this morning. And many people will say, well, what do I do in a house of prayer? Or what do I do at home? You may be wondering what an intercessory missionary is to do in a prayer room when they come in. And what they do, they engage in several important activities. And now you can look at this from time to time. Number one, they worship. Number one, they worship. And it says, we minister to God by declaring His worth unceasingly. Did you sense that this morning? I was just blown away by the songs that were chosen this morning, which I had no input on. They were chosen and they were just all about exalting Him and lifting Him up and glorifying Him. A lot of times worship songs can be just about us or about the church, and that's okay from time to time. But I believe that our worship is changing to exalt and to magnify the Lord. So, His worthiness, reflecting the way that He receives worship continually in heaven. That's found in Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer. We magnify the supremacy of Jesus. We magnify the supremacy of Jesus, declaring His worth, His beauty, and His riches. That's what was flowing out of Betsy. She couldn't help but say that. She just had to flow out and say that stuff. She couldn't hold it back anymore. And I hope you don't hold it back anymore. I love hearing her share that. Millions of people across the nations join the choirs of heaven by ministering to God in this way. So when we come into the house of prayer, it's a time of worship, engaging our heart, proclaiming his goodness of who he is. Intercession for revival. Many times, even first time I met Kyle, he said, oh, he said, so you're part of the reason for a revival. I said, we're a small part with a bunch of other people praying and interceding for Indiana. Because we have been for years and years and years when Kyle Martin and I talked for a little bit. And so we need to be continually interceding. We labor in intercession for the release of God's power to spread the fame of Jesus and to win the lost, revive the church, and impact society. We also engage in works of justice and compassion outside the prayer room. I can't tell you how much happens outside this prayer room of helping people that are struggling, of praying and ministering to people. There is a lot that happens. Even when people come in for prophetic words, they're encouraged. We can go on and on about that. So intercession for revival. Then the third one is intimacy with God. We seek to grow in intimacy with God by personally encountering him through his indwelling spirit, receiving greater grace, James 4:6, to love, obey, and partner with him as we are fascinated about who he is. We become fascinated of who he is. And then the fourth one, feeding on the word. We seek to grow in understanding of God's word, gaining insight into his will, ways, and salvation, and seeking to learn about the unique dynamics of his end time plan. We serve others in an important way, by taking the time and effort to grow in our understanding of the word so that we may help them understand God's heart and will for this hour of history. So when you look at that, you say, well, what do I do when I come into the house of prayer? Now you have it. This is how you can enter into worship. You can pray for revival. You can draw near to him. You can feed upon his word and ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to make his word alive for you. Intercession is who we are. We're called to intercede continuously. It says in the scripture to pray unceasingly, that we're always communicating with God. Now, this is a real big point that's coming up because I've watched this happen in our house of prayer in the earlier days, and I hope that it doesn't happen from this day forward. Least after reading this chapter, some believers mistakenly feel that they are second class or somehow inferior if they do not have a call to night and day prayer. Let me be absolutely clear. As I have stated before, not everyone is called to be an intercessory missionary. Certainly not everyone is called to be an Anna. We are called to pray, but not necessarily as our primary occupation. The greatest ministry is to do the will of God. There it is. The greatest ministry is to do the will of God, whatever that may be for each one of us. In other words, the greatest ministry you can have is the one to which God calls you. Amen? And that's like, oh. Look at this next line. The pressure of trying to operate in another's calling leads to all types of problems, including burnout, disappointment, and discouragement. So I urge you, do not despise your calling, and do not try, big one here, to imitate the ministry of another. Don't do that. You are uniquely made by him. You have things that many people don't have. And he's called you. He's rolled out the red carpet for you. Embrace your own individual calling. Whether it is serving God full time in the marketplace, in your home, school, or neighborhood, or in the prayer movement. Because it is the highest calling for you. It is the highest calling for you. Many people have felt like they're less than because they're not really in the house of prayer. Some people are called to this house to be Annas, to burn in intercession. Some people are called to just do maybe a set or two of worship. But God wants his house of prayer burning. And he wants it to be done in love and in freedom, not legalistic and not in bondage. He wants it to be a free house of prayer, free from the opinion of what we build and think how it should be, because we saw it somewhere else. When I was reading this book of Mike Bickle, I started reading about all the houses of prayer globally, and it's happening. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. And then I read about the one in Rwanda. It was in there. And it was in Pastor Paul's church. And so I remember going into that house of prayer when I went to Rwanda, Africa. I remember walking into that house of prayer. Right, Denny? Do you remember? And there was, correct me if I'm wrong, I think there was three people sleeping. One guy on the piano. It was on a dirt floor. One guy on the piano and one guy just worshiping away to Jesus. Okay? There was, what is it? Five. There were five people in there. Now, was that pleasing to God? You better believe it was. There are people that have been called to this house that have been ministering for years in this house. And the reason why I bring it up, it's this. We need to be rooted and grounded in his love. We need to know his word inside and out. But in the days ahead, if communities aren't houses of prayer, that's our identity. That's what he called us to be. You will be called a house of prayer. We're not going to be able to handle, when I just read about that other worship movement that's going to arise, we're not going to be able to handle that if we're just doing our thing and going to church and getting a little word and somebody's really making us feel good about ourselves. Because I had seven people come up and shake my hand today. I feel good. Really, that's great. I'm glad you feel good. But where are you with God? And where are you with knowing what he's telling you to do and be in this time and this hour? Back to the house of prayer. If there isn't a place of worship and intercession in the midst of community believers coming together, gatherings, if that's not happening, then we will not be in tune with what God is doing in the hour and be able to move with God, because our intercession won't be there, our worship won't be there. You can't tell me that this morning didn't draw you nearer to the Lord when you begin to proclaim his goodness and how awesome he is. Awesome, awesome, awesome. You begin to say that, it draws you into that place and it connects your heart with his heart. If we don't connect our heart with his heart in worship, then we're just doing music and listening to music. Some of you might get this, and some of you may not, and it's okay. It's okay, because we're all on different paths. But God does something to me when Otis plays a lead on guitar. God starts speaking to me when he starts playing a lead and he goes somewhere. Now, most people say, what? What was the famous thing we used to always say every time you'd speak and somebody come up and say, it would just be like, oh, okay, I'm going to try to figure this out. What was it, Josh? When we give a message and somebody walk up and, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, oh, that was a good talk, you know. Thanks, it was a good talk. That didn't wrench your heart, that didn't challenge you. Oh, that was a good talk, you know. Well, oh, that was a good lead on that guitar. No, it's not. The individual has said, I've given this guitar to him. I used to play it in one way. I'm playing it in another way for the honor and the glory of God. And because I'm doing that, it is now a prophetic warring instrument that will change the dynamics in the heaven and around us. That's why we go places. We don't go there just to do a fancy lead so somebody can be, you know, that's cool. Now, some people will take it as that's cool and come back because that's cool. But eventually, we want the cool to smack dab, have them right in the face of Jesus. That's the cool. That's what we've been about from the very beginning when we started. Warring and standing for God and knowing that there's a day coming that's going to shift everything. And there's going to be a battle of two worship movements at the end of the age. And so I go back to that same place. If we want to be a refuge, a gathering of people, if we don't have worship and prayer, if we don't honor one another with our callings and our destiny, if we don't try to make people feel bad because they don't come to the house of prayer. We want you here. We want you to spend time here. But we also know you have to be called and you have to be obedient to that. And I'm just saying, what if, you know, you found 2 hours a week just to come in this room and pray and to worship and intercede? That's 100 hours of intercession and worship and prayer in the Word. And I believe that that's where we're going. It is going to be a dynamic place. It's misunderstood. But when God calls you, this is your name, you will be called a house of prayer. When Jesus says that, my Father's house will be a house of prayer. That means you and I are to be a house of prayer. And when we gather, we're to be a house of prayer. I want the worship team to come back up. The song Presence that we did earlier, I want everybody to come up. I want us to leave this morning with that. As they're coming up, let's look at this. You take this sheet of paper home and kind of look through some other things. Look on the back of it. I think there was one. God asks you to participate in one corporate prayer meeting a week. Be faithful to attend it and do your part. That is His will for you. Think about it. If you go to one, there's what I was saying, one weekly two-hour prayer meeting in 1 year, you have prayed for your city, your nation, or the lost for more than 100 hours. That is no small accomplishment. Now consider the possibility of thousands of people praying together for 100 hours a year. Their intercession will have a serious, serious impact. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand? The Holy Spirit, second paragraph, the Holy Spirit has not emphasized the calling of to night and day worship and prayer worldwide throughout all 2,000 years of church history, but as we have seen, He is now calling many ministries around the globe to work together to establish it in each city and region of the earth. The practical application of 24/7 prayer will differ from city to city and from nation to nation according to the local cultures, the personalities involved, and the resources available. And this is what I want to do. I want to join with all the houses of prayer all over the earth in Israel as we ask the Lord to establish 24/7 prayer. I want to pray that prayer right now. I want to pray for the church and for us. And we're just going to end. I wanted to end on this song, this worship song, so that you leave today with your gaze upward and your heart toward Him.
Spirit.